The Lord be with you. As you might have guessed this morning, we're talking about demons, Satan. A lot of times people don't talk too much about him anymore. And that's kind of sad because in our culture, it seems like the devil and the demons have sort of been turned into a form of entertainment for us. Our modern culture has relegated the demons and the devils to making us laugh and thinking that they're really nothing to worry about. How many TV shows have you seen where the devil is sort of a laughable character? There's actually one new show out that I saw from Britain where one of the angels of God and one of the demons of the devil, they actually become friends and help and work with each other. And they do lots of things that are kind of silly and funny, and we laugh at it. We also think nowadays that psychological problems, emotional problems, medical problems have nothing to do with demons, nothing to do with the devil himself. We've relegated all of that to modern science. I don't know if it's true or not, but that's what we have already decided. Devils have nothing to do with our mental illness. There is a survey that was taken some years back by the Barna Group. Asked questions about Christians and from Christians, what you think about this, that, or the other thing. 4 out of 10 Christians strongly agreed that Satan, remember, Christians they're talking to, Christians strongly agreed that Satan is not a living being, but it's just a symbol of evil. And another 2 out of 10 Christians kind of agree with that. So 60% right there don't think the devil is real. He's not a problem. They also learned that Christians believe that Jesus, 20% believe that Jesus probably wasn't perfect. He probably sinned. Another 17% sort of agree with that. Who do you think's behind that one? That Jesus wasn't perfect. And even Christians believe that 40 to 70, 60% of the Holy Spirit, people believe that the Holy Spirit is just a symbol of God's power and not the third person of the Trinity. Who do you think's behind that one, too? The demons are still trying to afflict and possess your minds. They want you to not believe what God has told us about himself. Just ignore it. Don't believe it. You want to believe in God? Fine. You want to believe in Jesus? No problem. But don't believe in the one that we talk about in the Bible. Make your own up and call him Jesus, and that's fine. Well, St. Paul also reminds us in 1 Corinthians what demon possession is all about, too. He says this, concerning food offered to idols, we know this. All of us possess knowledge. This knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. If anyone imagines that he knows something, he does not yet know as he ought. But if anyone loves God, he is known by God. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. And then he goes on to say, but some through former association with idols eat food that's really offered to an idol, and their consciences being weak are defiled. He goes on to say that offering food to idols is really offering food to the demons, because an idol is really the demon's way of having you believe and trust in a God other than the God of the Bible. Idolatry is being possessed by the demons. Paul makes it plain. Demons exist, and they do possess you. Today we heard about Jesus coming to a place where it's across the Galilee, the Sea of Galilee. It's in an area where there were Greek Gentiles living. It's also an area that was probably the home of idolatry, worship of the god Zeus. And that's one of the reasons they have all those pigs over there, because the pigs were offered as a sacrifice to Zeus. Jesus, as he gets there, encounters a man who is possessed by a demon. And when Jesus asks the name of this demon, he says, Legion. Now, if you take that word literally, if the demons meant it literally, that man could have been possessed anywhere by 3,000 to 6,000 demons. How? I don't know. But the point was, this man was so thoroughly imbued with evil spirits in him that there was nothing that anybody could do. He had been thoroughly taken over by the evil demons that Satan had directed to go to him. This man was in a terrible way. He was so powerful and terrifying that the people around him were afraid of him. They tried to shackle him so as to not hurt himself or others, and he broke those shackles. And he would wander in the desert, and he would live in the tombs, and he was naked as can be. And that was all a sign of his uncleanness. And when anybody in the Jewish religion would have heard about this man, they would have known he was as unclean as any person could ever get. He was the worst of the worst. He was a fearful sight. And then when Jesus came upon this man, he says, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, don't torment me." These demons were afraid of the man, Jesus, standing in front of him, because they know he's more than a man, which is so remarkable in the Bible. The ones who always know Jesus first are the demons. They know who he is, and they know what's going to happen because of his coming to this earth. They are on a short line. They are soon to be relegated to hell forever. The demons had been in control of this man, and he was doing their bidding. But now Jesus stood in front of them, and they were afraid because now he was going to make them do his bidding. And they were afraid that they would be thrown into the abyss. They afraid they were going to be thrown into eternal hell right then and there. But even Jesus has a bit of mercy on these, because it isn't time yet. And so they say, "Could you send us out into the pigs? That's a worthy place for the unclean spirits to go, into unclean animals." And so Jesus gives them permission to go. And they fittingly go into those unclean animals. But those demons, still being demons, they do what demons do, and that's simply to destroy. And so they make those pigs run headlong down the cliff, flying into the Sea of Galilee, into the abyss anyway. And as the Bible tells us, the pigs were choked to death. The demons still ended up in the abyss. But you see, this isn't a story just about that man. It's about you and me also. Because that's what demons are all about. They want to take you. They want to take any human being. And they want to destroy you by making you do what they want you to do. They want to deprive you of the very life that the Lord has given to you in your baptism through the gospel. They want to deprive you of your mind by taking that away and filling it up with them instead. Taking your mind and taking it off of God and his knowledge and his word and his love. They want to take you away from that. And they want to destroy you and make you as mad as that man who was possessed by thousands of devils. They strive to make us afraid of Jesus too. Because when we are afraid of Jesus, it's because we are afraid of what he's going to do to us because of our sinfulness. And we want to run and hide, just like Adam and Eve ran and hid. We were all once possessed by spirits. Paul tells us this in Ephesians chapter 2. He says this: "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. That was our situation. That was our condition. And you were dead in trespasses and sins. But by the grace of God, you were brought out of that. You were exorcised in your baptism. Martin Luther's prayer in the New LSB version talks about kicking out, in essence, exorcising the evil spirits that are in us so that the Holy Spirit can come in and live in us and change you and make you whole and make you not afraid of the Lord anymore, can give you life. You may not have been possessed in that same manner as the man was, but we were still in that darkness, and Jesus brought us out into that wonderful, marvelous light of his own. And we can see still to this day, though, that the spirits, even though you've been brought out, they're still trying to get you. They still want to pull you back in. And that happens far too often. All you have to do is think about our young people who are baptized and catechized in the church and seem to slip away, taken in by the lies and deceptions of Satan and the demons themselves. Or even the adults in our congregation or other congregations who are taken in by the lies, the tricks of Satan, to say, this isn't worth it anymore. Why bother? Remember what Satan did to Adam and Eve. Did God really say? First, the devil comes to us like a friend, wanting to help us out. Did God really say you didn't have to eat all of that? Did God really say you will die that day? Did God really say he's just being a friend? He wants to make you feel comfortable around him. And then they present us with the opportunity to be free from the rules of God. You know, the rest of the world thinks sex outside of marriage is fine, so it's all right. Or marriage by any other way, shape, or form, that's okay, everybody agrees with it. Look, they even light up the White House and the Westminster Abbey and the things with all the different colors of the LGBTQ, whatever. It must be okay. The devil promises that we can be like God and that we can make the rules for ourselves. That's the deception that they've offered to us, tricking you, trying to make you believe in something that is false. And there's even more subtle ways that the demons try to pull you away from the truth of Jesus. There's a letter that was written by Jesus' half-brother Jude. And in it, we hear, but these people blaspheme all that they do not understand. They are destroyed by all that they, like unreasoning animals, understand instinctively. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain, abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's error and perished in Korah's rebellion. Now, if you don't remember those three fellas, a quick reminder and why it's important. Cain, what had happened with him? He worshiped God in the surface only. He went and offered his offering to God, but there was no faith, no belief, and God wouldn't accept it. And out of that false worship, that fake worship, he ended up being angry with God because you didn't take it the way I wanted to give it to you. And he ended up killing his own brother. Korah, he led a rebellion. The book of Numbers, you can read about this. He was one of the leaders of the Israelites, but he didn't like what Moses was doing. He figured Moses was just usurping the leadership of all of Israel to himself. He didn't want to believe God when he said, Moses is my chosen person. This happens in places where congregations will say to their pastors, we don't like what you're doing because, well, we just don't like it. You have to do what we want you to do. We want to be in charge. Balaam, he was just simply a prophet for profit. He would take money and tell everybody what they wanted to hear. The idea of itching ears. Let's preach what they want to hear instead of what they need to hear. These are all tricks of the devil, the deceptions of the demons, to try to have you hear what isn't the truth and listen and if not listen to what is the truth. Jude goes on to say these false teachers and teachings are like hidden reefs. They're like a reef that shipwrecks your life. Shepherds, they feed themselves. They aren't feeding you instead. They're waterless clouds. They look good, but nothing comes out of them. They're fruitless trees in late autumn, twice dead and uprooted. That's what false teachers are. That's what the demons try to convince you to believe. They want you not to hear what God has to say. The demons are working through teachings, not of the Bible and of Christ. They're trying to have you learn and understand and believe what the world thinks we should believe. As long as it's not God, it's all right. Now, back to the gospel lesson. When Jesus confronted the demons, he commanded them to leave, and they go headlong down into the sea. When the people around that saw what was going on, they ran into town because they were afraid, and they started telling everybody what had happened. And then the people came out, and what did they see? They saw the man clothed in his right mind and seated at the feet of Jesus. He was listening now to the Lord. And when they came out, what did you think they would do? Wow, this is wonderful. That man who was crazed and crazy and angry and terribly frustrating for us to have in our area. He's in shape. He's healed. He's made better. No, they didn't do that. They were even more afraid. And they told Jesus, we want you to go. You see, they were too under the power of the demons. They were afraid also. They were just as out of their mind as that man had once been, because they were not seeing Jesus as their Savior, as their liberator. When they saw that freed man, what they only saw was, what is he going to do to me? They were afraid that they would no longer be under the control of what they thought was better, their own demons, their own unbelief, their own false teachings, because they were fine with that. They were afraid of Jesus and his love for them. Jesus tells the man who wants to go along with him now, he says, no, I want you to stay. I want you to stay and tell what God has done for you. And what does he do? He becomes a good gospel preacher. He tells them what Jesus has done for them. Can you imagine? I used to be wild. I used to be crazy out of my mind, and he's calmed me. He made me whole again. I'm now a person again, no longer under the control of evil spirits. Look what Jesus did for me. God has done that for you too. He has taken you out of the realm of the Satan, out of the realm of the demons. We were born under that, but he has freed us in our baptism. He's kept us here with his word, strengthened you with his body and blood, and you keep hearing that gospel so that the Lord can keep furnishing his nourishment to you and keeping your mind free from the insults and the influences of what the demons want to do. Because you see, Jesus is a kind and gentle with us. He doesn't want to take us over in the sense of the demons and make us serve him and feed him and do his bidding, no matter how terrible it might be. No, he wants us to be faithful by believing that Jesus is our Lord and Savior and then going out and sharing that love with one another and trusting in him to be our caregiver, our good shepherd. He gives us life rather than taking it away from us. So where might you still see the demonic in your lives this week, this year, this time? Well, wherever you hear in words or music or preaching or teaching that you're pointed to something other than the Lord, pointed to yourself, pointed to some person, anything that takes your focus off of Christ and what Jesus has done for you, is the demonic. The demons want to be God, but they cannot and never will be. They are doomed to hell for all eternity. But we keep our hearts and our minds on Christ Jesus, focused on him, because he has freed you from the power of the demons. So go and do what Jesus told that man to do. Go and tell everyone what God has done for you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.